Listen in to the Community Connection Show with Alan Collier every Wednesday from midday to 2pm, where local community groups let you know what's happening right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
And now, as promised, we've got Cindy McLeish with us. Good afternoon, Cindy.
Good afternoon, Alan. Good afternoon, everybody, on a stunning day.
Oh, it's beautiful out here, 25 degrees, the sun is shining, and it's going to be a tremendous day. Oh, Cindy, perfect. You're very busy at the moment. You're in Parliament, and you want to talk a little bit about the pandemic and what's going on.
Well, look, things are pretty hectic in Parliament at the moment, and usually that at this time we are having a lunch break, which is we're not in the chamber. But earlier today, only around 11 o'clock, that we got the first actual copy of the pandemic legislation. And we're expected to be speaking about it either later today or tomorrow. So everybody is frantically trying to have a look at it and to understand what's going on. And I just left a government briefing giving us a bit of an insight into what's in it. And apparently the one that was leaked to the media isn't exactly the same as the one that was introduced into Parliament. However, they couldn't tell us what was different.
Truly. Yeah, that's poor.
Truly, you can't make this stuff up, Alan.
No, you couldn't. It sounds like Yes Minister, doesn't it, if you ever saw that show?
I used to see that a lot. But in all seriousness, it's been published in newspapers. There was the department had accidentally sent it out on Monday. And now they're saying, well, this is different, but we don't know how different. It's like, well, surely you know what you sent out on Monday and what's not different. But anyway, it's all quite extraordinary. So there's been lots of debate about how quickly they're trying to get this through and all of this. So it's taken up a little bit of today. That was why I'm on late now, because we had that briefing on the...
No, that's fair enough. We're lucky to have you. Cindy, now, coming the weekend, people can now get out of Metro, and quite a lot of your electorate is in the country, isn't it?
Full on tourism, and everybody will be very keen. All of the business operators, the tourism attractions, they'll be really, really keen for people to come back. And we're going to see that with the easing of restrictions. And even last week, people within Melbourne Metro were able to travel within Melbourne Metro. So that meant that businesses in the Yarra Valley and the Upper Yarra could open.
Of course, Hillsville and Warburton are part of Melbourne, aren't they?
They are. So this is probably one time that they were happy to be part of Melbourne. I know that in country Victoria, they were still relying on people tripping around the state, not coming from Melbourne. People from Melbourne did think that they were going to go to Lake Eildon from the weekend. The bloke in the bait and tackle shop up there said to me, he kept getting phone calls from people saying, where's the best fishing spot? We're coming up. And he's like, mate, you're not allowed to come up.
Yeah. Where did it actually finish? Just the other side of Hillsville, is it, Cindy?
It follows the boundaries of the Shire.
Oh, does it?
So it's halfway up, halfway to Tallangi.
Oh,
after
right.
Dixon's Creek, so it's halfway up the mountain.
Yep.
And it goes halfway over the Black Spur as well.
And I guess one of the things that you'd want people to do is not only to come and see the area, but to spend some money in the area too, wouldn't you?
Look, absolutely. And this is where it gets a little bit challenging for the business owners because, with every easing of restrictions, it means they've got to do something a little bit different. And for some of them, if you're a large venue and you've got to have a head count at the door, it's difficult to traffic that, to police it, and businesses say, well, hang on a minute, we can't afford to put a security guard out the front to make sure that we don't go over 45 patrons, especially if, people are coming and going, in a hotel or a shop. Like something like the chocolatry, for instance.
Now, Cindy, I don't want to get into sort of too much about the restrictions, but what's the score? There's been two sorts of things that come out this week. One said you've got to be double vaxxed to go into some of these stores, and others have said, well, no, you don't even have to be first vaxxed. Do you know what the actual rule is?
Well, I think they're catching up with each other because the rules were something different to what the Premier said.
Right.
So we've got two different lots of advice. So people are trying to work out what exactly that means. Are you able to go into shops unvaccinated or are you not? And now the Premier has talked about people who aren't vaccinated. And, you know, like there could be almost 10% of the population. And it might be of a particular age group too, because if, you know, most of the young people and most of the older people are vaccinated, it might be that sort of middle group who are the workforce. And they, you know, people aren't exactly sure because you can't lock people up forever. You can't lock people up for all of next year and say you can't go to the shop or you can't go to the hairdresser if you're unvaccinated. You know, like we've got to have some common sense here.
Well, I heard the other day that I think the nurses could go to work with one jab as long as they had the second one booked by sort of the end of November, but a person working in a shop had to be doubly vaxxed. Is that true?
Look, it depends on what's the business, and this is where businesses have to absolutely keep their eye on the detail because this is really confusing. So in country Victoria, you could have 10 people inside at your cafe. And people had to be single vaccinated. Then they said, well, if you want to have more than 10, I think it went up to 30, everybody needed to be, all the staff needed to be double vaccinated. And a whole lot of the staff hadn't been double vaccinated. They'd all only been single vaccinated. So they'd all needed to be single vaccinated. They all need to be double vaccinated and people were given 3 days. So they had bookings, and then they found that they had 8 staff, 10 staff, 6 staff who couldn't actually work. So some of them said, well, look, we're just going to stick to the cap of 10 because we know that we can have 10 with staff who are single vaccinated. So it's a real mess. It's all over the place. They've changed things so quickly, it's really difficult for people to keep up with what's happening.
Oh, that's that's cruel. Cindy, infrastructure. You wanted to talk about infrastructure? Infrastructure. Couldn't give me tongue around it.
Well, look, I went to one of the meetings of the CEDA, the Warburton Chamber of Economic Development, and they do, you know, like a really good job making sure that the council and myself and others, you know, really hear about the needs of Warburton. And some of the things that they're really worried about is that, you know, we've got some key infrastructure, some key attractions, places that people love to go to in the Upper Yarra and in and around Warburton. And they're worried that they're not in a fit state for tourists. So, you know, we're going to have tourists flocking with, they've started to flock out to the valley, accommodation providers are, you know, being booked out. And then they're worried that the Redwood Bridge, the big, it looks old, but it's only 20-odd years old, behind the Redwood Centre at Warburton, but that's been closed a couple of times in the last 12 months for repairs, and there needs to be a bit more done to it, and they're very worried that we're going to get all the tourists coming back and that bridge is going to be shut, for example. You know, the Redwood Forest. Have you been to the Redwood Forest, Alan?
No, I haven't. I must get up there. You've mentioned that. I've got to get up there. So I don't want to say no to you next time.
3/4 of Victoria have been there, and everyone who's been there knows the car park used to be a disgrace and the road used to be a disgrace, and they've worked on it. But they have said that they're going to put some toilets in. Well, that still hasn't happened. And, you know, we've been locked down for the best part of 2 years, 18 months, and they still haven't put the toilets in at the Redwood Forest. So when that happens, tourists are going to be back and they're going to have works and all that. You know, you can't just plonk them in.
No.
It's going to take a little bit of disruption. So, you know, they're really worried that that hasn't been done.
And they're the sorts of things that could have been done while nobody was coming up, wasn't there?
That's right. You know, and you're outdoors. They're outdoors. They're not indoor things that needed doing. So the Chamber of Commerce were really concerned about that. The O'Shaughnessy Trail, which is just the Aqueduct Trail, which is really, really lovely. I've been up on, you know, on a bike up there, and there's some trees that have fallen, and the trail's not exactly in perfect condition. And again, they said, look, this is a time, you know, you don't want to have it dangerous and trees down when the tourists come back. So, you know, and why the Chamber worry about this is because they know what a splendid area it is. how beautiful it is.
Yep.
And then if people have a bad experience, you know, it's a bit of a cross against the area, and no one wants that. And that's why you've got to work to make sure it's, things are as great as they can be.
And the other thing too, let's be honest, there's a lot of people aren't going to travel overseas in 2022, are they? So, I mean, a lot of people are going to be staying home and going to these sorts of places.
That's right. Yeah, and this is the opportunity, really, for tourism in Victoria to take that, you know, big forward step to actually get so many people out and about and enjoying and seeing Victoria, because we got lots of stuff in our area we know is just fabulous.
Cindy, you'd like to talk a bit more about tourism in the Yarra Ranges.
Well, as I said, you know, like, this is such a wonderful area, but, you know, we all know and we're all really mindful of the storms, you know, in the middle of the year.
Yep.
It was really, really devastating. And for the council, the cleanup continues and, you know, they need help, they need support, and the federal government have said they'll give them money, but the state government really need to unlock this money and help them out. And I know that there's some $65 million, you know, dollars, I think, in backlog. But, you know, when you've got so many trees down, and people love the look, don't they? You know, you drive yep. through the Dandenongs and Kalorama and Sassafras, you know, the Linda is beautiful.
And that's why you come up here, isn't it?
That's why you come up here. And, yep. You know, for residents that have got to, you know, every day and get to and from work, and with all of the trees and everything down still, you know, it really needs a clean up. And I guess one thing that is in their favour is that it doesn't look as though it's much of a bushfire season at the moment.
We hope not, because there'd be a lot of fuel on the ground otherwise, wouldn't there?
Yeah. Look, I had a briefing the other day from the government department about the forest fires and things like that, and the moisture content is really, really high at the moment, so there shouldn't be a devastating bushfire, probably this season, but certainly nothing before February if it continues the way. It's very dry up around Mildura, but around our way, you know, from those, it's a long way from being tinder dry.
And which is terrific, isn't it?
Which is terrific, but it doesn't help the council get all of this stuff all cleaned up.
No, that's true. Cindy, Warburton Mountain Bikes, you'd like to talk about a little bit about that?
Well, you know, this is really quite, it's a project that some people love and some people don't love, but communities that have had mountain bike destinations and, you know, I think it was just over 100 kilometres of paths that they were planning. You know, this is exciting because you bring people and, you know, you might get some development in Warburton where the old sanitarium factory was. It's been sitting there waiting for development for donkeys.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be progressing at all, does it?
No, look, it seemed to, then it stops, and then it seems to, then it stops. And I'm not sure at the moment where the permit's at, but, you know, I'm sure that it could be a wonderful addition. And, you know, people can stay. But Jim Child, actually, the councillor for the area, was on the, I think, on mainstream radio. I heard him. And, you know, they've been talking about this since 2011. And here we are 10 years later.
And
they're doing an environmental effects statement, which it's incredible that the only mountain bike trail anywhere in Victoria that has to have an environmental effects statement is in Warburton. And this is something that the minister had to tick off. So, you know, you think, why do all these other ones get up and people have got them and people are coming and enjoying the area and having a great time, and at Warburton, you know, they're stuck with this EES, and I think it's costing something like $1 million. So, you know, part of the project that they had the funds for actually now has to go to this. But I know that the newspapers were asking questions the other day, because at the moment they're doing a gender study as part of the environmental effects. And I, well, just for the life of me, cannot work out what that means.
I was just going to ask you that. What's gender got to do with an environmental study?
Well, I think whether, you know, genders are equally catered for it. I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, if it doesn't matter who gets on your bike. Anyone, any person.
Well, I mean, a bike track's a bike track, isn't it?
That's right, and it doesn't discriminate. There's not a barrier that says, you know, if you're male, female or otherwise, you can't get on this bike track. And I thought, well, maybe they expect that there should be toilets or something in the bush, or I don't know what they were thinking. But, you know, these tracks don't take you all day to go on. And so I'm really at a loss. But one of the newspapers was asking questions about that the other day, about why would they be doing this. And, you know, you've just got to wonder whether the money is being well spent.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, all for equality, all for everybody being able to, you know, do as much as they can. But getting on and off a mountain bike is just something I couldn't see discriminated between.
Neither could I, to be honest.
You know, male, female or otherwise, you know.
It's and the other thing is too, all these activities that we're talking about, like the mountain bike, they get people out away from sitting on the couch. They get them out, the young people out from just sitting around playing on their devices, don't you? You get them out into some fresh air and really enjoy them and get a bit of activity going.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, kids have been cooped up. Now, yep. I think we're pretty lucky in the area that we're in because kids can go outside and ride their bike, you know, for the time, and they have the mountain bike. The rail trail. So kids in our area have been particularly lucky, certainly in the Upper Yarra,
yep.
that they can do that. But, you know, that's a great way to burn off some energy, and I'm sure Mum and Dad are pretty happy for kids to get off the couch and go outside and do this. And, you know, the mountain bike stuff, you have various grades and you have stuff that's going to get some people, you know, really hot and sweaty and using, you know, every muscle in their body, and you'll have less so. So it's really great to have the variety, you know, and the rail trail's flat, so you've got something for all members of the family. You know, you might have your grandmother and a four-year-old come along who can ride on the flat while the rest of the family go up and ride in the hills.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
And the other thing, I don't know if you've been on an electric bike.
Greg's got one here, or he's got an electric bike. He rides in into the studio. I've seen him on that.
You know, and when I first heard about electric bikes, I thought, oh, really? You know, you got to do the physical exercise. But you do exercise at the same time.
Yep.
And it does, you go a bit quicker. And I was surprised, actually, when I was up on the O'Shaughnessy Aqueduct Trail, I was on an electric bike. And, you know, it's a little bit easier to go up the hills. It's a little bit quicker to go further distances. And, you know, I thought about it and I thought, well, if you're going to cover 10 kilometres in a certain period of time on your regular bike, if you're on an electric bike, you might cover 20 kilometres. So you might see more of the wonderful areas. So I thought, well, horses for courses, you know, and shops locally, you know, you can hire those. You can hire them at Mansfield to go on the or Marysville to go on the ones at Lake Mountain or Mount Buller, and you can already in Warburton. So, you know, these things will be much more readily available when we get the trail up, but it will be such an important project for the area.
Well, and you talked about the electric bikes. It'll get some people off the onto bikes that wouldn't normally be, where they might find it too hard to do all the work. So it can't do any else but good.
No, it keeps you going. It keeps, you know, rather than you might think it's getting a bit harder, well, you know, electric bike does make it easier. And a friend of mine's mother, she's got a tricycle.
Oh, yeah.
She's well in her 80s, but she can ride on the rail trail near Yay on her three-wheel bike.
I really think these rail trails are a fantastic idea, aren't they?
Yeah, for her, it's replace the horse.
Blimey, they're 80. She's probably better off on the truck than on the
horse. Equally, down in the Warburton Rail Trail, you know, it's just stretches for so far. And, you know, we've got the wonderful outdoor trail now, and the council have done a good job getting that between Yarra Glen and Yering, and they're going to extend that. But that's busy all of the time with people who are active walkers, cyclists, you know, and horses. And so what's really good is that when governments and councils all work together, you know, and I can push things along and make sure that we keep meeting the needs, not just, you know, of the community, and I guess that's people who use those, but it's also the businesses who benefit from having people come to the area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're bringing people that maybe otherwise not come, aren't you?
That's right. And the Warburton Rail Trail from Lilydale actually is one of the most used rail trails in the state.
Is it?
Yeah.
Gee,
but I think, you know, it's handy to it's handy to the city.
Well, you don't, like, you're not travelling hundreds of kilometres to get to it, are you?
No, no, that's right. You've got it right at your doorstep. You know, it's great if people do travel out and stay the night and, you know, help all of our accommodation providers out, but, you know, that's not always the case either.
Well, I guess we're hoping for, well, you are, for, and the businesses, for a big weekend. I mean, a lot of people have taken Monday off, aren't they? And it's the first opportunity to get out, so hopefully all the accommodation up around your way and, you know, up as far as Mansfield and all those are all fully booked out.
And, you know, it's funny, Alan, about what the businesses have to do. You know, we talked earlier about some of the restrictions. But if you're an accommodation business and you don't just open, you know, like if you've got an outdoor pool, you've got to monitor the restrictions around an outdoor pool. And if you've got a playground and there's restrictions around the playground, you've got to monitor the restrictions around the playground. So all of these little bits and pieces, you know, it's not one size fits all. You've got to kind of hunt through the directions and work out what it is that fits to me, this bit and that bit and the other bit. And that's why it's so confusing and people are so worried about being fined.
Well, nobody wants the average person doesn't want to be a lawbreaker, do they? They want to follow the law. But if the laws in some of these cases, well, we're not 100% sure with some of these restrictions where they are.
No, and we have a lot of calls to my office helping people, you know, work through exactly how it goes for them and what they have to do. Now, look, there's something that I found was absolutely extraordinary as well, that, you know, like that they can fine children. And the maximum penalty for children not wearing a face mask, can you believe this? Oh. $40 for children under 15, $80 for children between 15 and 18. So that's the maximum penalty for children not wearing a face covering when required.
So we've still got
those restrictions.
Yeah, one of the problems I have with some of these restrictions is we always brought up our children that the policeman is a friendly man. He's the man that if something's going wrong, go up to him and he will look after you. But then you had him out amongst the playgrounds saying to kids, well, you've got to go home. I mean, I find that very, very difficult for a young person, to be honest.
It is because, and I think the police force have taken a hit in their credibility, you know, like, and their confidence, their trust, because we have always prided ourselves on having a good police force that we trust and that the policeman is someone who you can turn to. And particularly if people have come from other countries where that's not the case.
Yeah, some
of them. They've been very scared of police in other countries. So we have it quite different. We want them. Now, locally, we have some pretty good cops and really friendly, but they're having to sometimes do things that they're not very keen to do.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for them.
Which isn't good. Cindy, let me ask you, the first weekend out, what's your weekend going to look like?
Probably no different from my other one. Yeah, I haven't got anything planned. Yeah, we'll just still be at home. But, you know, because we're out on a farm and, you know, there's lots to do outdoors. And, you know, I'll be walking the dog with my cousin, which I do anyway. And, you know, probably just go and shopping. But because it's a long weekend, I usually steer clear of the main towns because, you know, they're busy trying to, you know, deal with all the tourists and they don't want to be seeing me or talking to me. I had hoped to go to the Mansfield High Country Festival, but it sold out. They had to limit the tickets. It sold out in 20 minutes.
Gee, that's terrific.
Well, it's not normally limited, so they've had to fence it off. So, you know, normally everyone in the town's there and lots of other people, so they've had to do things a little bit differently.
Cindy, I can hear you've got a phone call. I know you've got to go to the question time. So thanks very much for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you next month.
Okay.
See you, Cindy. Bye.